When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw After Show. And have we got a show for you? We've got Randy Orton versus Ludwig Kaiser. We got a strap match lined up and we got so much more. But before we get into all the big happenings, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by George Hermosa and Jimmy Corderis. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great, actually. Like I've been telling you guys, I've been scouring in the hollows of Corderis Manor and finding all these nice little trinkets, non-wrestling related one, but since hockey was brought up tonight, found a little nice little hockey trinket here. You know, on the back, it's a hockey card where on the back, you can't see it, but it's a puzzle where you collect a certain amount of hockey cards and it makes a picture of a This one looks like Jean Béliveau because it's captain of the Montreal Canadiens, number 4, but on the front. 1967-68 Bobby Orr, James Norris trophy winning card.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be worth something, right? I don't know the value of cards. Is that a valuable card?
I'm assuming so because it's still in this little case here, and it was a gift from my father-in-law. So, you know
here,
what?
Open up the case and, like, bend the corner.
No!
Maybe
no!
That'll...
No! I'm not big on value of cards, but I know enough to not bend the darn thing.
If you burn the edges, it'll look like an old treasure map. Speaking of old treasure maps, George Hermosa, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Oh wow.
We're off to a good start today.
It's going to be a fun show. Oh, I'm good. I'm reading. We promise you a great main event. Good old buddy of mine, Bill Hanstock, another former AfterBuzz alumni, wrote a cool little book that I got to release, and you can see it in all the bookstores nationwide. But yeah, thank you for having me here on Monday. I think it's my first time crashing down on a Monday Night Raw review here on Wink, as you guys like to call it.
No, this is your first Monday night?
My first Monday night.
Oh, well, we always like to start our Monday night with a special Monday Night Raw dance. George, let's see your Monday Night Raw dance.
I can't do the one that everybody loves to see because this is Monday.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll just go with Yeet.
Oh, right?
Is that a dance? The Yeet dance?
I think you gotta do it more than once for it to be a dance. But very, very cool. Thank you for letting me haze you properly here.
Well, I have a quick question for Jimmy. Completely off topic. Have you noticed there's like a lot of cool Maple Leaf footage showing up on YouTube?
Maple Leaf, as in Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah, no, like Maple Leaf Wrestling.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Maple Leaf Wrestling. Scott D'Amore has brought that back, and it's going to be very interesting. I believe the dates are October 19th and 20th in St. Clair College in Windsor, where he is his hometown. And
but there's like a lot of cool footage showing up from like the 80s a lot of these hidden gems that I've personally never seen that I'm ecstatic to see.
Yeah, because they predate when Vince took over the Toronto territory, the Tunnies. He took over the Tunnies, and Scott owns all that footage now.
So my question is, are we going to see a young Jimmy Corderas in the audience?
I don't know if they got there. If you look at that iconic ramp that goes from the ring to the dressing room where the talent used to walk above the crowd, if you're looking hard camera, second row ringside, right beside that ramp. And if you see somebody with a big head of hair, yes, I had hair back then, and a camera in front of them, that would be me.
Man, so everyone's got to check it out. It's very cool that they're resurrecting that. Hopefully it's successful. Always cool to see new mm-hmm. stuff happening. Speaking of new stuff, I'm playing with I got a new iPhone, and so I'm trying out the camera on that, and I think it keeps trying to, like, track my face, but it keeps moving me to the side. I think it's not doing me any favors tonight. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure, more. That's what people are really here for, is my technical issues I'm always dealing with. But let's talk about some news, because there were some technical issues over the weekend, but there was a lot of good stuff as well. Let's talk about Fanatics Fest. That seemed to dominate the sporting world. And there were, of course, there was Major League Baseball, there was NFL, there was the NBA all there, but there was, of course, pro wrestlers there, and people were buying tickets to see these people, buying their merch. But as of day two, now there's 3 days, as of day two, WWE stars, they were the only ones, the only talents that were completely selling out their photo ops. So, you know, George, I know you're a big fan of a lot of different sports here in the U.S. You've got a Dodger shirt on as we say this for our audio members. We talk about how big wrestling is right now. Are you under a rock because it's on fire right now? This clearly shows just how popular wrestling is when they're side by side with major sports and they're the ones selling out.
I love and I hate the people or the argument from the people that says that, oh, wrestling isn't popular. The Attitude Era used to get like 8.0 and 10 million people watching every week. The way people consume wrestling nowadays, it's so much different, and where maybe, yes, a little bit less ratings, but a little more and everything else there is, whether it's attendance, whether it's, you know, these Fanatics Fest. So I'm not surprised in any way that wrestling, WWE specifically, kind of dominated the fest over the weekend. Plus with the inclusion of just, they, like, Vince had a vision, right? Like, I'm sure a lot of this is what he kind of imagined, but what Nick Khan has done since taking over, you know, whatever he took over a couple years ago, oh my God, like, I'm sure this is something that even Vince maybe didn't even imagine, whether it's all these championship belts, all, you know, with pretty much every single team, not just in professional sports, but in collegiate sports now, with all those things, man, like, the way they infiltrated and just kind of seeing all these, like, I saw a video of Tom Brady coming out, like, the wrestling ramp to, like, a Hulk Hogan theme song, you know? You got Travis Scott with Rey Mysterio. You got Livy Dunn taking pictures with Tiffany Stratton. Like, I don't know. The way that WWE is infiltrated just mainstream, period, is just absolutely tremendous. And it's no surprise that they were probably the most popular aspect of Fanatics Fest. And there was that video of the owner, the CEO of Fanatics, Michael Rubin, talking to Cody and pretty much saying, like, Cody, like, you're probably the reason why I'm still wealthy. And it goes to show just how over and how popular Cody has been since coming back to the WWE.
You know, Jimmy, I look at this and I think about how a lot of ink has been spilled over the kind of fans that wrestling has. And for a long time, it was kind of negative. And you'd hear about how advertising dollars aren't as good with wrestling based on compared to other places that have similar ratings, or you know, you can't do much with wrestling fans outside of showing them wrestling, etc. But then you see something like this, and it's like, hey, the football fans didn't show up, the basketball fans didn't show up. I mean, they did, but I'm trying to make a point here. It was wrestling fans that showed up, and they showed up big, and they really showed that this is a demo. This is a market. And to George's point about the ratings, I feel more and more it's time to just forget what those ratings say. I feel like the ratings don't matter. I don't, I mean, I guess I get there's, you know, stuff involved, but, like, as far as actual popularity in the world goes, I don't think that actually means what's popular. I think it's stuff like this.
Exactly. The ratings just matter to the television advertisers, the guys who are trying to buy ad spots and stuff like that. That's it. It doesn't matter to the fans, because the real metric is butts in the seats. That is your real metric. And what they are doing right now is they're selling out everywhere. That's the biggest sign. In the fact that they had sold out pretty much every talent that was there, lined up out the door to get autographs and pictures and whatever they were doing there. And the only ones doing so, it shows that stigma that was attached to wrestling for so many years has disappeared. It is completely gone. And people are treating it now as a form of entertainment that they enjoy, as opposed to that deep, dark secret that, we can't admit that we're wrestling fans anymore. Everybody's proud to be a wrestling fan right now. Even the NBA players, the Major League Baseball players, the hockey players, everyone, they're wrestling fans as well.
Yeah.
They love it too. So that goes to show you how much it has infiltrated the mainstream when everybody's on board. Even Hollywood's on board now. That's a big that's a big metric as well. So this bodes well for everybody involved, not just for WWE. This bodes well for wrestling in general, because those that can attract an audience and get some eyes on their product, it's going to help them out as well.
Travis Scott, musically a star there as well, obviously came out with Rey Mysterio, and Rey Mysterio said it was his new tag team partner. So unfortunately, Travis Scott is going to turn on poor Rey Mysterio at some point.
In San Diego.
Sorry, Rey. Travis Scott is going to have to attack you at some point. That's just how it works. I don't make the rules. But of course, George, we talk about what makes wrestling so popular right now. And a lot of people go back and forth on this, but I think a lot of us believe that it's sort of the storytelling and everything that goes along with that. Triple H was discussing making content for fans of all ages. And he said, quote, "You got to have a little bit of something for everybody. You never want to age yourself out. You don't want to shoot yourself too kiddy, because even the kids don't like it then, right? They don't want somebody pandering to them. You've got to have something that crosses every box. And it's the trick of what we do, man. It's little something for everybody." And reading that, I think I intuitively knew this, but I never actually thought it like out loud, I guess, or, you know, consciously thought it. There is in WWE right now, literally something for all age groups, whether you want something more serious, whether you want something more adult, whether you want something kiddie and silly. There is something for everybody. It truly is a variety show in the best way.
It's a lot of different, like we saw 10, 15 years ago, because when a lot of people were kind of complaining that John Cena was kind of being pushed too hard or being the face of the brand, I feel like during that time especially, WWE wasn't marketing for adults like me. WWE is marketing for kids. So whenever we're complaining about, oh, Raw was not good today, there were too many poop jokes or too many silly jokes, it's not for us. It was for kids. I mean, I got an 8-year-old that thinks, you know, "Hi guys" is the funniest thing in the world. But then every Wednesday, we're just like, oh God, rolling our eyes. With that said, fast forward to now, I feel like it really is a good blend of a little bit for everyone. You have, you know, you want good wrestling. Cool. Great. Here it is. You want great characters, great story. You want the kiddie stuff. You want the humor. You want the serious stuff. You want the deep stuff. Like, we have all of those things. And I think that's when wrestling is the best, when you have that kind of variety show. And people will say, like, it's always been a variety show, but not like this. Like, not like this. When we were, I don't know, I don't want to age anybody right now, but I grew up watching wrestling when it was, you know, for kids. And while I still watch wrestling, I mean, I never stopped watching wrestling, but I know a lot of people stopped watching wrestling because they were growing up. And then you want to know when everybody started coming back to wrestling? During the Attitude Era, when they were more catering to adults. So it was those fans that were kids stopped watching 93, 94, 95, 96. Then they came back in 97, 98, 99, because now they're being catered to a little bit more. Now it feels like it really is a little bit of everything, and a lot of bit of everything as well.
Yeah. And Jimmy, I think I agree with everything George just said, but I think one of the magic touches to this and why it feels great is because the stuff that's for kids and the stuff that's for adults, isn't overtly for kids and adults. Like the old Alpha Academy, you know, when they were doing the thank you and all that, that was very childish. But as an adult, I wasn't watching going, this kid's stuff here, you know, and the bloodline, talking about legacy and how long you've, you know, like how your family runs for generations. And that's very adult, but it's also not something like, well, my kids can't watch this. You know what I mean? Like it is for different audiences, but it also doesn't alienate you at the same time. It's really clever the way they've done it.
Yeah, they don't pigeonhole themselves into catering to one specific audience. Like you said, they are, as Vince used to say back in the day, they're weekly episodic television, and they have to be creative and different and appeal to a broader audience. And how do you do that? You appeal to different age groups, age brackets, and that's what they've been doing wonderfully lately. Like you said, Jack, it's not as overt, and that's the whole thing. When you really do the give birth to a hand kind of stuff, you know, that's a little bit outside the box. I don't know. It may be a little adult.
We still can.
But it's weekly, but it's also intriguing because people get interested in characters, whether the characters are funny characters. Like, take an R-Truth, for example. R-Truth is he just makes me spit out my drink every time I'm watching. I can't drink anything when he's on the television. And then you get guys who make me think deep when I look at a Randy Orton and stuff like that, and the way he presents himself in the ring, and I watch him sell with his face and his body and really tell stories with his face and his body. Now I get intrigued, like I'm watching a good drama series. And then you get your violence, you get your everything else, you know, no disqualification matches or whatever you get. So there is a little bit of something for everybody. And when you got that, people more times than not will stick around to watch what the other stuff is, not just the stuff that they're more into.
Right. Well, we have some law talk. Everyone tunes in. A lot of people listen to this show for like review, and a lot of people listen to it for wrestling analysis and things like that. But most people tune in for our law talk, the legal stuff. And we've got some trademark news that we're going to chat about here.
Dun, dun.
Per the USPTO, a trademark filing was registered on August 14th for, quote, the Hurt Syndicate, pertaining to merchandise. The company filing for the trademark, Totally Harmless Concept LLC, previously filed for trademarks on MVP and Ghetto Strong Style in 2013, the latter of which being MVP's moniker while wrestling in New Japan Pro Wrestling, though both have been abandoned in the years since. So, Jimmy, I'm going to go back to you on this. I don't know who Totally Harmless Concept LLC is, but it seems like it could be MVP. And if MVP is trying to register a trademark like the Hurt Syndicate, it might be that we're going to see a business in a place other than WWE very soon.
Well, that appears to be the deal there. You know, with him, obviously Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin are also on the free agent market. So you could see a reunion of them heading elsewhere. And not necessarily to say, will they go to AEW? That's a definite possibility. It surely is. Maybe they will test the waters in New Japan. Maybe they will go elsewhere. Maybe they will test the indie market. I know individually they would do well, commanding a good price, but to take all three together in the same price, especially for an indie show, would be a little bit tough and a little bit would kind of strap the promoters a little bit, because you got three top talents that command a high price. So if I were a betting man, I would say probably AEW. They do like factions. And this would be a good solid faction that people recognize. So you can insert them into the lineup in a prominent position right out the gate. So, hey, you know, if they can do it, there's three guys who can.
Yeah. And, you know, George, as Jimmy said, I think we all would love to see this group together again, but he makes a very good point as far as AEW seeming more likely, because while I would love to see them on the indies as well, and there's a lot of great companies, that's a big price tag for a smaller company to try to pay all those guys to show up. And there's not many places, maybe New Japan Pro Wrestling, maybe a TNA, but that's a steep price for any other company to try to pay on a consistent basis for all those guys. But I do love the idea of those guys going anywhere, including AEW, and just wrecking people.
Maybe I'm a little bit out of the box, but I'd love for them to go to New Japan. I'd love to go, for them to go to like AAA. We saw a lot of cool footage from AAA this past weekend, and they're selling out stadiums as well. I saw like a cool little picture, like a panoramic picture of Triple Mania, and it just looked like, wow, what a great place that would be to perform in front of, whether it's, you know, as a ring announcer, commentator, or as a professional wrestler. So I think somebody like a Bobby Lashley showing up in a AAA, somebody like a Bobby Lashley showing up in a New Japan would be much more impactful than showing up at an AEW or TNA. So again, it's just me. They can do whatever they want to do. I'm sure if they want to go to an AEW, there would be a great offer for them. Like you said, I don't see them showing up somewhere, you know, more independent. I know MVP did show up at a show not too long ago. I think like a Bloodsport, right?
Bloodsport, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Bobby Lashley would just completely wreck everybody at a Bloodsport. Their price
tag. Bobby Lashley would just wreck everybody.
Yeah. I mean, the price tag would be high, but maybe they got it in their heart. Maybe they're like, you know what? If you guys want me, like, you know, just pay me $20 and I'll show up and, you know, let me keep all the merch sales or whatnot, you know, but who knows? Either way, I think we're going to see them somewhere specific by the end of the year. And either way, I'm not a big fan of the name. I wish they would kind of change it up, not just be, oh, we can't be the Hurt Business, so let's be the Hurt something else. I just would like them for them to start something new. But either way, I think it's going to be really cool to see them in their next step of their journey.
I hope my biggest thing with where I want to see him go is I want to see him go to the place that pays them a lot of money. I want them to get paid big time because I'm big fans of those guys. Another more trademark news. Of course, this is the trademark. WWE filed a cryptic new trademarks. While Priest and Ripley have become known as the Terror Twins, Dave Meltzer noted on the Wrestling Observer newsletter that while he isn't exactly sure what the trademark term will be used for, he believes I don't think I cut out the right part. It was the I copy and pasted the wrong thing here. Where'd it go here? They trademarked the term Fatal Influence. There it is. That's the word I'm looking for. WWE trademarked the term Fatal Influence. Dave Meltzer saying he doesn't know who that will be used for, but he guesses it'll be possibly the new name for the Judgment Day. George, Fatal Influence. Interesting name there. Could be used for a million things. Do you think it's a team? Do you agree that it could be the Judgment Day's new name? Do you think it's someone else? Who would you like to who do you predict that might be for?
I don't think it's going to be the new name for the Judgment Day. What I hope for, I hope that it's going to be the new name of the Pure Fusion Collective. But it sounds like they're sticking with that name after, especially after tonight. I don't know. I think that's a great name. That'd be a cool name for like the Final Testament. I'm thinking of all these guys that it should be a name for, but I'm trying to think like what other group is like maybe teasing to be together. It could be maybe a team on NXT. Who knows? But I don't know. Like I'm kind of stumped on who this one can be for.
Yeah, Jimmy, I don't know who it could be for. Of course, this is where we got to be careful because people then we start thinking, oh, what team is it for? May not be a team. Might just be an individual. Might be one person. Mm. Fatal Influence. It might be a TV show, might be, or a pay-per-view or something.
Maybe when Xavier Woods turns heel, then might be his new group.
You stole my thunder. Sorry. You stole my thunder.
I'm sorry, or as you guys would say, sorry. Sorry, eh?
Sorry, eh?
Sorry, eh?
So, Jimmy, you think it's going to be old Woods?
I think it's a possibility, that's for sure. I mean, trying to think of who that would fit most, AOP needs a rebranding of some sort. Mm-hmm. So why not come up with once Woods finally does the dastardly deed, rebrand them Fatal Influence. I think that might be fine.
Nelly Belly with an interesting point here says Stephanie Vacker possibly.
Maybe be the new Shield when Vacker, Julia, and Delta show up and just cause a ruckus on every women's division out there.
Well, on one of them, anyways. So they can't be in all of them. I mean, come on.
I just like the word ruckus.
Why it's six were. I guess they weren't on NXT.
So, as they talked about a little bit tonight, this will be our last piece of news before moving on to the actual show. Pat McAfee says this is going to be his last Raw for at least a little bit here because of football obligations. George, you being an American, you understand what football is. I think Jimmy still thinks one of those things where there's a round ball that you kick around.
Yeah, it's a black and white round ball.
Silly.
You can't touch it with your hands.
Don't they got the Canadian Football League up there?
Oh, yeah, the CFL. That's right. We only have three downs, not four. See the exchange rate up here.
But George, how do you feel? I mean, it's a bummer that Pat's leaving. He's everyone's favorite or a lot of people's favorite. Who do you think's taking his spot?
I predict it's going to be Barrett going over to Raw for now. No, but they said Cole's going to go to SmackDown. And then the new guy's going to go to Raw. And then when they go to Netflix, it's going to be Cole and McAfee on Netflix. So, dude, I don't know. there's all these new things. I mean, is the new guy going to debut on next week's Raw? I don't know. Like, it's probably going to be the new guy and Barrett and then Cole and Graves because they really like Cole and Graves together. They seem to be like the go-to pay-per-view or PLE commentary duo. But, yeah, that's my prediction. It's going to be the new guy, Joe Tessitore, with Barrett on Raw and then Graves and Cole on SmackDown.
Jimmy, how do you think that's how it goes? I keep forgetting we have someone new coming in. I guess it makes sense for that individual to be coming in soon.
Yeah, why not? You know who popped in my head I think would fit that bill? William Regal. William Regal would be great on color.
I absolutely would. For some reason, the English guys are all good. I love Nigel. I love Barrett. And I'm sure Regal would be great there,
too. His gift of description and telling stories is wonderful. I think he would fit in well with Cole. I think he would fit in well with Corey Graves, whatever way they want to do it.
Yeah. That'd be very interesting. He was commentator like in the early days of NXT on the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
Regal's one of those guys who, because I only see him on in wrestling rings, you don't think of as a big guy, but I got to meet him at a WrestleMania meet and greet one time a few years ago, I think in Dallas. And it wasn't a WWE. I met him at a meet and greet at during that time. And that guy is big. He's a, he's one of those guys that he shakes your hand and like it engulfs your hand. He's not like the tallest guy in the world. He's a little bit taller than me and I'm 6'1". But his hand like engulfs your hand and you're just like, this guy could kill me if he chose to. Like,
and what a great person too.
Yes.
He was very kind. He was a very good dude.
Yeah,
a lot more soft spoken. I thought he was going to like hit me with brass. I was like, oh, it's so good to meet you. And he was very soft spoken, very nice. And I was like, I thought you were going to kill me.
When I met him, he was telling us stories about him and Bobby in teaming and WCW with the Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look. Anybody watch Peak or Prime Regal when they were anointing Bobby Eaton as Sir Robert El Duke or whatever his name was, part of the Blue Bloods. And yeah, that's like TV wrestling gold right there. If you can find it on YouTube,
I was fortunate enough to catch up with them.
Good stories of real William Regal.
He's very quiet. I don't want to. Snitch or stooge off who it was, but there was a little bit of an altercation in the locker room one day, and I happened to be sitting there like just putting my shoes on, and these two guys were getting in each other's face, and it looked like it was going to get pretty serious. The only people, I don't know who was in the shower, somebody was in the shower, wasn't coming out. And the only other people there were myself and William Regal. So Regal, just in the calmest manner, okay, boys, please calm down, please. Everything's good. And then he looks over at me, terrified, like, what am I going to do? I'm not breaking this thing up. And he goes, and he looks, and he's got his arm in between them, and he looks over at me. He says, Jimmy, can you discreetly go outside and find some help? I said, yes, sir. But the way he said it, I didn't want to laugh because, but it was you know, and I got to catch up with him in Toronto here when they were here for Money in the Bank, and it was just a great guy.
Yeah, I had my chat with him was very brief. It was just one of those like hi hellos, you know, you're awesome, and then I had to move on. But speaking of moving on, we got to move on with this show. Before we get to this show, though, a couple notes. One, I know this is a WWE broadcast. Well, I mean, a Wrestling Inc. broadcast about WWE. But this Sunday, following AEW All In, Jack Farmer, this guy, and Flobo Boyce, someone who took the night off because he's lazy, is going to be covering the entire pay-per-view on Wrestling Inc. here. So again, we're keeping our promise to you, the listeners and viewers, of doing our after PLE and pay-per-view shows. They're always fun, especially after an AEW show, because it's probably going to be 7.5 hours and we're going to be loopy and crazy and ready to party after that one is done. So tune into that one. It's going to be a good time. Also, before we get into the show, I want to ask everyone to like, comment, share, and subscribe. 5-star reviews. We got a 5-star review recently for our Monday shows on Apple Podcasts, and I was going to read it here, but I forgot to pull it up. And like I said, I'm trying out my phone as a camera, so I can't look at it. So next week on Monday, I'm going to read your 5-star review. And anyone else who puts up a 5-star review on Apple, read that one also. But we also got our lurkers hanging out. We also got our folks in the chat, like Jane and Reaper and Justin and Ray J and Steven and Danny and Huffman and JR and Ken and Ethan and stalking you with the dog emoji always coming through. Leonard Jones, Ricky Saldivar, JR, Joe C, Tommy O, Andy and Adonde and David and Joycey and Jade. We got a bunch of folks in here tonight. Nelly Belly, Chris Bricks, Keith J, Omar and Macho Warrior Rick Hogan. What a name. Blue Chew. Baby Ice, Mr. X Lurkin, Corey Murph, William Cooper, who said, thought I was only 5'5". I am a whopping 6'1".
Which Jack Farmer is going to be one of those people that have to spread the legs wide to interview people.
Oh, I do. And I'll tell you, sometimes they lean in, you know, and then you got to kind of lean back a little bit. Like, hey, I'm kind of wobbly here.
So the other thing, too. And you got to take a step back from the camera and let them step one step forward. Makes them look a lot bigger.
Yeah. And then I was told by Aaron Stevens. I'm trying to remember his WWE name.
Oh, Damian Sandow.
Damian Sandow. Yeah. To also tilt your head like this. Even if they're like the same height as you, you tilt your head.
Interesting.
So it looks like you're looking up at them. Mm-hmm.
Just a quick question, because I see people do it. Let's say this is the microphone, right? Do you do the cross arm, or do you do the like kind of like? Because like I feel like it's you get more like I don't. Is that like a thing?
I personally would cross the arm in most cases, because when it's open like this, I feel like it just looks uncomfortable and weird.
Okay.
And then so it's not too far over. To Jimmy's point, a lot of times they'll be actually kind of in front. And so I'm kind of reaching almost around them to hold. It's funny, I'm doing all this, but you can't see it. But you're kind of almost like reaching around them anyways. So, because, you're very close on camera. As Jimmy will tell you, you're a lot closer than it looks on camera. On camera, you look normal distance, but in person, you're like this close to each other's faces.
I know, because they got that backdrop that's only this big, and you got to both fit on it so you can get the advertiser in.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, something they don't prepare you for until it happens is when people spit when they talk. And you just let it roll. Yeah,
No cell. he had garlic, something with garlic. Jeez, just go with it.
Thanks for everyone joining us. By the way, Amanda asked if I'm doing better. I am. Thank you so much for asking. If you guys didn't know, I had a nice vacation last week, but halfway through, well, it was over. It was the last day. I got COVID. COVID. I had to sit in my room for a few days. Couldn't hang out or chat or do anything. It was kind of okay though. I got to play video games and act like a child. So it was fine. But let's talk a little bit about this show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about Raw. I want to start with what I thought was the biggest moment of the night. CM Punk comes out and he cuts a promo telling us how important the fans are and talks about Fanatics, talks about the fans and how it means something that they support him. And that's why that bracelet means so much to him. And then he says, look, Drew, I want a strap match. I want a strap match with you. It's happening. Jimmy, we're getting a strap match, but we had a little bit of back and forth between the two. Rate this segment.
I enjoyed it very much because they got to the point. CM Punk endeared himself to the fans like he needed to. But this is a different CM Punk than we've seen before. You know, his interaction with Drew is stuff we've seen before, but him putting the fans over, so to speak, you can see that it's not just him trying to get that babyface pop.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually feeling this. That's the way he's feeling right now. And it's coming through, especially when he pulled out the bracelets that the fans had made for him personally.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's cool stuff. So seeing this iteration of CM Punk, I know people are, I don't trust him because of all the, you know, the rumors of the backstage stuff and how he's perceived to be, you know, that's all, you know, hearsay. You know, once it's my father-in-law used to always tell me, history is always his story. So, you know what I mean? But I enjoyed the segment. I love the fact that they didn't get into physicality. Save it. Don't give it away too soon. We've already seen it. We don't need any more going into the pay-per-view. Tease it. I'm cool with it. And I like the fact that they explained the rules to the strap match, saying that you do have to drag your opponent over and touch all four corners, you know, because, you know, sometimes the rules indicate where a pinfall could happen or whatever. But in this case, they specifically said that you, in order to win the match, you have to drag your opponent around the ring and touch all four corners, which adds to the drama. You get some different false finishes there, which is going to be cool.
You know, I love that he talked about the rules of the match and explaining what you had to do, George, because obviously, one, it educates us on what to expect, but two, he's the good guy. I'm cheering for him. That means he's also kind of the underdog, and that was added to the fact because I can't imagine CM Punk dragging around this giant Scottish warrior from post to post, and that's exactly where I'm supposed to be as a fan right now. How in the heck can CM Punk do this? He's got me. CM Punk... Go ahead.
Oh, spoiler alert, he's not. I don't think he's going to... I thought this segment was great. I don't get people complaining, like, where's the CM Punk of old? If he's dropping pipe bombs every week, then they're not going to be pipe bombs anymore. You got to, you know, it all in due time. You know, we're going to see that when the time is right. Right now, it's about, you know, being who he is. I mean, obviously, he's in a new environment. You know, it's been a while since he's been like a true good guy like he is now. By the way, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. So I know that apparently... he's a Taylor Swift line. For men.
Yeah, and how do you feel about line. That?
Dude, that's amazing. I feel like I should be making a bracelet right now. How cool would that be, though? Like a CM Punk, you know, meet and greet, whatever, and all the fans are just exchanging bracelets. Man, that'd be so cool.
You know who the Taylor Swift for men is? Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. God damn it, you're right. Oh man, I regret not being at her concert like a year ago. God, it was right. She was here for like five nights at SoFi Stadium, by the way. And yeah, I didn't go.
They were all like $1 billion to go.
Yeah, but I'm anti SoFi. I mean, I don't know what your experience was like, but how long did it take for you to get out of SoFi from Mania? It took me like an hour each night.
It was long. It was a long wait, especially for someone who's like, I'm gonna wait till I get home to use the bathroom.
I digress. I thought CM Punk was great. I like that they're kind of putting a lot of more emphasis into why the bracelet means what it does. Like I said, people just like to complain about like, oh, it's just a bracelet. And it kind of reminded me of like, you've obviously never had anything. And when people that complain about that, it's like they never had anything just that was just like a little anything that means anything to them. Right. You talk about athletes, right? We all know baseball. How many of these guys have in their physical possession their first major league hit? A ball costs $20, but I guarantee you to that person, that first hit they ever got probably is worth $1 million. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, like it's going to mean something to that person. And I like that we're seeing that, you know, a lot more, even to the point where like, hey, you know, I'll even give you the strap. but you give me that bracelet. And I like kind of like that tease of like, oh man, is Drew going to do it? He took it off for a little bit. He's like, nah, I kind of want to make you suffer a little bit more. So I really like where this feud is going. I kind of see, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next week on the go home before Bash in Berlin. But at the end of the day, I do, because I don't think I'll be able to do my predictions here. I do think that Drew is going to defeat Punk, and it's going to set up into the bigger rematch at Bad Blood, where CM Punk finally gets his W.
Interesting. I will say, I think they've done a great job with building the importance of that bracelet. I think it's fantastic what they've done there. And if people don't like it, okay, whatever. Everyone has their own opinions. But I got to say this, Jimmy, before we move on. And I've said it before, but I'm going to repeat myself. CM Punk is, in my opinion, as far as people going right now, the third best in the world at selling me a ticket. And the other two, the people ahead of him, are Paul Heyman and Cody Rhodes. And one of the reasons I put them ahead of them is just because so far CM Punk has just had a rivalry with Drew McIntyre, where CM Punk has had to sell these feuds and sell these tickets against some people who we all knew he was going to beat, you know? And Paul Heyman's just been doing it for so long. But CM Punk is just so good at, people say cutting promos, but like, it's not just cutting a promo. It's because a lot of people cut great promos. He sells the ticket. He makes me want to see the match, you know? There's a lot of people who will cut a promo and like, that was a really well put together diss track or whatever. But this, he makes me like, I got to see this match. I got to see what happens. He's so good at it.
Real quick, I remember the Monday before Money in the Bank 2011, CM Punk said, and I quote, and this is the part where I talk him into the building. And I always think about that, especially when you said that right now.
When you talk about genuine needle movers, guys who actually move the needle, CM Punk is one of the best guys at doing it. We saw him do it at AEW. Mm-hmm. He moved the needle. He was the guy that people paid to see. Obviously, debuting in Chicago helped. Yes, I know this is a WWE show, but I'm just pointing out CM Punk right now. Being in Chicago helped, but he did add viewers. Their numbers were very good with CM Punk there. And now that he's gone, you see a decline. And you don't want to see that, obviously, but he is responsible partly for that. And now you're seeing the numbers going up in WWE. Yes, it's a team effort. You talked about Cody. You talked about Heyman. Now with Roman Reigns back, he's adding to the mix. These guys are needle movers. These guys put butts in seats, and they put people in front of their television sets, and they get people to buy whatever, outside of the U.S., they're buying the WWE network for those guys.
Yeah.
Simple.
Absolutely. Couple other guys that people definitely want to see, Randy Orton and Gunther. We get a promo from them to start the show where Orton kind of recaps where everybody's at with everything as far as his historic potential to win the championship. And Gunther talking about how personal this is. Eventually, Kaiser attacks Orton from behind. That sets up the match for later in the night. During the matchup, Kaiser works over the leg, but Orton gets the win anyways. And post-match, Gunther and Orton get into a brawl. Jimmy, Gunther promised to bloody Randy Orton. Are we going to get some blood at Bash in Berlin?
You can't promise something like this and not deliver. In my opinion, if there isn't blood in some form or fashion, then it's going to be, why even drop that line? Yes, I get it. It sounds more violent. It sounds like you're going to really put a beating on someone. But again, if you don't deliver, then it was a throwaway line for me, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. George, any thoughts on this one? It felt a bit like, didn't feel like a lot of new information or new stuff came from this, but also felt like it was kind of the right thing to do.
I think it's building a lot more intrigue too, because it's not just, oh, hey, they're just doing a rematch because of the wonky finish. They're adding actual stakes and emotion and passion into this feud. And I wish it would play up a little bit more, the fact that Gunther is going to be in kind of like a home, in his homeland in some ways. But in terms of the blood, I think the blood's going to be coming from Randy Orton's chest. because of those chops that Gunther is going to give him. I think this is going to be something to really experience. I think it's going to be the main event, right? I don't think they're going to give Cody the main event for this one. I think it's going to be Cody or Gunther and Randy.
Cody's main evented every single show he's been on since he's been champ. So
So I mean, it should be interesting either way. I dig the match. We've been getting a lot of praise from about Ludwig for a couple months now. I think the most recent praise that we saw was from The Undertaker, and just him being in a main event with Randy Orton. I'm sure he's already learned so much. Not that who knows if, like, you know, everybody's a sponge in some ways, you know. I'm not saying that Ludwig isn't ready in any way, but just being in the ring with, in my opinion, one of the greatest of all time, Randy Orton, sure, it's got to boost his confidence in many ways. And I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a great match to close out the show.
Yeah, really quickly too, the one thing we talk about getting over without going over, that's what Ludwig did tonight. Yeah. He got over big time. And big props to Randy Orton for helping him get there. He sold his butt off for him. And like I said earlier, the way he sells, he tells stories in his selling, in his facial expressions. When he looked, when they were on the outside and he crammed his knee into the stairs, you almost felt like, you know, he's really hurting here. He was that good at selling and making you believe. You have that suspension of disbelief in wrestling. Randy Orton is one of the best ever to do that. Get people to believe that he is actually hurt. Little thing, when he landed on the table and he rolled off and you just saw that pain, like he just, geez, you know, who hasn't done that? You know what I mean? I stub my toe and I do that.
Right. and speaking of Ludwig too, because we talked about him earlier, I'm seeing a lot of glimpses of like a William Regal, just the poise, the confidence, the Regal in Ludwig Kaiser. Like I see a lot of great similarities from the two.
Well, that's a great comparison. First, last thing on this, you know, I see that obviously Randy Orton famously has bulked up and gotten so big now. I imagine that big, broad chest of his that Gunther looks at it. It's like an old Looney Tunes cartoon where like he's
the eyeballs come out.
like you know, when like a character's hungry and they see someone else, they turn into food. I feel like that's what he's doing with that, with his chest. He's like, salivating at the chance to just swat him.
Some chop meat.
We had a Maxxine Dupri versus Ivy Nile went down, and Ivy is now officially American Made. The match doesn't get very far before the Wyatt Six show up and take out American Made, and Uncle Howdy hits Sister Abigail on Chad Gable. Jimmy, how are we made?
What's that?
American Made.
American Made.
thoughts on? Oh yes, you're the Maple Leaf.
No, it's Leafs? Actually when Toronto hosted the 50th annual NHL All-Star Game.
Oh.
So it's kind of Maple Leaf, kind of sort of, but not really
Canadian. American Made segment.
Yes.
thoughts on this? I feel like, of course, Wyatt Six are getting the wins in these situations, as they probably should, but it's kind of tough to take the new team seriously when they keep getting wiped out, is it not?
I think so, because going down the road, how do you get them to, yes, they are a good team and they are getting over as American Made, but at some point we talk about getting over without going over, like we said earlier, but this team needs a win, and it needs a big win to solidify themselves in the eyes of the fans. So they need a big win against somebody. And are the Wyatt Six ready to take a loss at this point? That is the big question. I don't know if they are, because you run the risk of derailing all the stuff you've done to this point with them.
Yeah,
and making them look that strong. So it's going to be a tricky situation. Obviously, you can branch off and have, of course, Nikki Cross with Ivy. That works. But the Creeds and Chad Gable have to get, for heels, need to get heat for people to get invested in them. And right now, they're not getting any heat on the Wyatt Six. So
right.
I think that's why you saw the crowd a little bit quiet, even though the Wyatt Six took out everybody and Chad Gable again. That's why I think you're not hearing the fan response you should be getting, because how do you get sympathy on a babyface that is this strong?
Right. Right. George, that's kind of what I was thinking, exactly what Jimmy just said. Again, I don't want to say they're wrong for it. I get why they're doing what they're doing, but man, it seems like it's going to be a tough pit to climb out of if you're American made. Your leader just got destroyed with his old team, new team, now getting destroyed again. But at the same time, you can't beat the Wyatt Six already, right?
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts from everything about this segment. My first thought is, man, that American made t-shirt, that's one of their best t-shirts that I've seen WWE put out in a very, very long time. Just a great looking logo. Number two is, like, there's so much going on, and I love every single person involved in this segment. I thought Maxine Dupree was showing a lot of great things that we haven't seen her do before. Mm-hmm. She was firing up in a way that I'm like, man, like, this girl is like, you can tell she's been putting in the work. She's been, you know, getting her reps in and whatnot. So I really was disappointed in that aspect because I wanted to see more of that match. It's there's still like a lot of unfinished business between Otis and Chad Gable. So there's that. And when it comes to the Wyatt Six stuff, like, I'm a little like torn, right? Cause like, we all love what they represent. We all love, you know, everything, how they came in and everything. But now it's kind of getting into the why, right? We have, you know, Wyatt Six always getting the one up, like Jimmy said, like they keep getting the one up on American made. So why do we need to see a match? Like, I already saw Bo Dallas give Chad Gable a Sister Abigail. So why do I need to see it again during a match just to make it official? So I don't see why there needs to be a match. Like, it's not exactly like Chad Gable's going to Anna Pearson, like, I want a match right now with these guys. Like, no. And it, you know, I want to see more of the why. You know, they kind of mentioned Nikki Cross for the first time by name tonight, so I know that probably has some kind of purpose into the future of that group as well. Yeah, I'm optimistic on what the next step is, but I really hope we get it soon.
Yeah. Jimmy?
No, just something popped in my head because you were talking about getting some kind of heat on the Wyatt Six. Just take them out for a second where they acquire the lamp. And take the lamp from the Wyatt Six, because you know, we still don't know technically what that represents,
right?
You know, does it represent the spirit of Bray Wyatt? Maybe that's what it is,
like the urn, like the Undertaker urn in some ways, maybe.
So, you know, in that respect, once they take it, then they leave with it, and they're left without it. The Wyatt Six are left without it. Maybe that's a way to get some heat without it getting any real physical heat on the actual group themselves.
But in the chat, Larry Holt with a comment says, maybe they've drawn out the Wyatt Six gimmick too long in a 30-second soundbite culture. Just wondering. Interesting thought. Bloodline. Everyone in the chat. I agree.
Four years.
I was gonna say, I just the only thing I kind of am not really a fan of is, like, for the first few weeks we saw like the mystery, right? What's on the VHS tape? Like, all these things getting delivered to them, and then as weeks progress, it was like, oh well, we've seen the Wyatt Six, now check out this video. And so it's kind of like, okay, like, I guess now they're officially part of the show, but I wish we still kind of had that, like, you know, we're not really on board with whatever it is that you're doing, especially after you murdered everybody the first time you were here. You know, I wish they was still a little bit more of like outsiders, I guess you can say, where, you know, what are we seeing in the back? What are we seeing on the truck? Oh yeah. I guess it's something to that element of surprise of, like, we don't know what we're seeing in, as opposed to like, oh, cool. Well, you know, Bo Dallas has been going on, and let's look at this, the video, upcoming video package.
Yeah, it's. I do think they kind of got off too easy for what they did with Gorilla in the Gorilla position. But at the same time, I'm also like, okay, we're moving on. I'm glad we're. I like them being real world people more than characters, though. So, we have some more stuff going down this time between Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley and Dom and Liv. Backstage, the Terror Twins say they're going to beat up Dom and Liv, and Dom and Liv say otherwise. Dom wants a singles match, and Priest knows it'll be a trap, but says, whatever. They go to have the match, and it was a trap. But Damian Priest fights through it. Eventually, Rhea Ripley comes out. That prompts Liv Morgan to come out, and that is when the Judgment Day really destroys the Terror Twins. Jimmy, something I loved about this segment, it was obvious. We kind of knew what was going to happen. We got what we expected. That's okay. But what I liked about it is the person that really turned the tide was Liv Morgan. I think we keep looking at Rhea Ripley as she's someone who's going to destroy Liv Morgan. But in this segment, it was Liv Morgan showing up that saved the team. And I think that empowers the way we view Liv Morgan.
Exactly. Especially when she had Rhea on the table, on the announce table, and was pounding away on her. There was a different look, a different intensity. And that's what really resonated. I thought that was really good. Good call there, Jack. But the other thing, like I mentioned earlier with the Wyatt Six, how do you get sympathy on a babyface when they get beat down, when they're outnumbered and get beat down? You heard the crowd. They were booing like crazy. Not like Dom needs help to get booed, but they got heel heat, real heel heat. And that's what you need to get baby faces over. If anybody had any questions about Damian Priest becoming a baby face and whether he'll get over big time as a baby face, well, they answered their question tonight. Now with him paired up with Rhea Ripley, the Terror Twins, not sold on the name just yet. Maybe it'll grow on me, but at least they are presented as a duo fighting and got each other's back and not a couple.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that they're able to be, because sometimes in media we get a little too hung up on, like, if you're a guy and a girl, you have to be in a relationship. You can't just be friends. And that's just not realistic either. So, George, I watched this and I've been Team Dom and Liv for a long time. I'm glad that they're thriving. I'm glad that they're doing well. Why can't these two leave Dom and Liv alone? Dom, it's like, I'm moving on. Leave me alone. Yeah. Crazy X, what's going on?
Yeah, pro wrestling, isn't it fun? By the way, did you know that Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest are known as the Terror Twins?
I heard
as hell mentioned it a lot today. I mean, and that's what branding is. Obviously, we all know that. You know, the same way we always used to see it's boss time every time somebody were to come out. But yeah, there's a lot of unfinished business. We all love to hate Dominic. But yeah, I do agree everything that you said. Liv has added like a whole new spark to this group, and I'm all for it. I think we're seeing Liv at her absolute prime right now. She's been on the main roster for a good 6.5 years, almost 7 years now, and she's gone through a good amount of character change, and you know, some stuff that stuck and some stuff that didn't stick so well. So I'm happy to see her finally get all the recognition and the spotlight that she rightfully deserves. But this is all the right kind of heat. It's too soon for us to see Rhea get her hands on Dominic. It's too soon for us to see, you know, Dominic kind of get that come up, or them to get the come up on Dominic. So I like that it teased a lot of it. I thought the pacing of it was overall really, really well. With that said, Liv's oblivion move. What a cool move. What a cool move. I'm digging that move. But yeah, either way, big thumbs up for this segment all around.
I think it's cool too, because it's a reminder that you shouldn't give up on someone just because maybe things haven't clicked for them. Liv has always been like solid, and she's been a champion before and things like that. But it always felt like she could do more. And it wasn't until this happened where, like, okay, now it hit.
Yeah.
And it's cool that they didn't just give up on her, or fans didn't give up on her, because she's an absolute star. Yeah. She's one of the biggest stars on Raw now.
I was actually there in the crowd when she won the women's championship from Ronda Rousey, and the crowd popped huge, but that was just one night. And I was excited to see where she's going to go where she's going to go with that story. You know, she ended up losing it back to Ronda, but I feel like now she's really solidifying as the top woman in all the women's division. By the way, can we make like a petition to bring back the mixed match challenge? I think now is like the right time for that. I think the Terror Twins would be all over that and end up winning that mixed match challenge on Facebook. Watch.
Say that three times fast.
I tried. I couldn't even say one time fast.
Well, maybe they could change the name to Fatal Influence. I don't know. I got this. Something they could call Fatal Influence is a tournament to declare a new number one contender to the Intercontinental Championship. Bron Breakker says that's how his new contender will be named. And Jey Uso is the first to enter the tournament. Jimmy, are you a betting man?
I used to be. I'm staying away from gambling.
Well, we're not going to actually bet anything here. But okay. Jey Uso, only person to put his name in the hat for this tournament. If we were going to bet, would you choose Jey Uso to win the tournament or any other wrestler? I mean, you get the field. You get every other wrestler on planet Earth or Jey Uso, the one guy who's already declared for the tournament.
Wow. That's a tough call because you're looking at the roster now. You're thinking about who could possibly be that guy. You've got some names you could throw in the hat. It'd be interesting to see someone like an Odyssey Jones, but too soon for him, I think, because you don't want him to get speared by... Although it would look impressive.
Yeah.
For to spear somebody like an Odyssey Jones, but him beating someone like a Jey Uso... If Jey Uso were to win the tournament, I think that would do wonders for Bron Breakker. But it's going to be interesting because he's starting to get cheers now. People are starting to bark.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Pat McAfee. The actual audience members are starting to bark along with him. So he is getting a following. So, again, I don't like the term tweeners. I'm not big on that sort of thing. I just wanted to lean into it. I like what he said tonight in his promo, though, where he said, all the destruction was not his fault, but when it comes to the winner of the tournament, what happens to him will be his fault. That was a nice little line I thought he threw in there. But as far as who could beat him or who I'd like to see him in there with in the finals, I guess other than Jey to elevate Bron Breakker, who is there left?
Oh, George. George has a finger up.
Okay. Okay.
So, George, before you answer, if I gave you the same bet, would you agree? Would you take the field or would you take Jey Uso as it is now?
I would 100% take the field.
Oh.
Dude, look at the odds. I think no matter what, there's always going to be a story when it comes to somebody like Sheamus going after the Intercontinental Championship. So I think that would be a great way to have him. And, you know, we all know that Sheamus can have banger after banger after banger. And, you know, Jey Uso as well. But I think that's where we're going to see this tournament go. We're going to see some kind of schmoz loose. I still think that we're going to see Jey Uso somehow, some way be inserted into this bloodline thing. And I feel like that's going to distract them from going to the Intercontinental Championship, one number one contendership finals, whatever they call it. But I do think we're going to see someone like Sheamus go in and still trying to go after the one championship that he's never won before. Or maybe, who knows, maybe we'll see John Cena in that mix soon, you know?
Too soon.
Spicy. Maybe in 2025, but.
A lot of spicy picks.
Yeah.
Interesting. Jimmy, are you scared of your pick now?
Not scared, but I'm a little
there's nothing on the line, so you shouldn't
be. A little trepidatious, I guess, is like I have another pick, but I'm going to save it for the match we're going to talk about next,
right? And I think we're both going to agree because this is who I'm thinking about.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy.
So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Big Bronson Reed takes on The Miz. Miz doesn't even want the match, but he's got to take it because of what Bronson Reed did to his partner. It's a no DQ match, and Miz puts up a fight, but not enough. Bronson Reed gets the win. Before he can bring on the tsunami storm, Braun Strowman comes up, and we get a beefy stare down. Jimmy, are one of these two gentlemen who you think might be the winner of that tournament?
No, like you said, I kind of like that Bronson Reed matchup because the only issue is Bronson Reed is one guy. You talked about not giving up on someone when you're talking about Liv. They're not giving up on Bronson Reed. In the last 2-3 weeks, he's a made man now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's definitely a made man, and you don't want to take that away from him at the moment. Let him build to that. Don't put him in that. If you put him in the tournament, you got to find a creative way to get him out of the finals because you don't want him facing a Bron Breakker because they've got plans for Bron Breakker going forward. They got plans for Bronson Reed going forward, and you don't want to derail any of those plans. So as much as I'd love to see that, I think it's a good idea pairing Bronson Reed with Braun Strowman right now. Trying to get those Brons and Breakers and Bronsons all together. If Vince was there right now, there'd be there'd be some yelling at Gorilla.
call him Rex Steiner.
And they would also have different names. Yeah, we'd suddenly get a different – he'd be called the Breaker Experience.
Yeah.
George, any thoughts on this big, creepy showdown?
I got a few thoughts. One, they should battle for the right to the name Braun. So we're either gonna see Strowman or we're gonna see Sun Reed, but first things first, I'm a little upset because The Miz, maybe it's just me, I think The Miz is so accomplished that they should be making a bigger deal out of Bronson Reed defeating a former two-time WWE champion, former two-time Grand Slam champion. Like, to me, beating a former WWE champion clean in the ring, I think that should be like a really, really big thing. And the fact that they didn't even touch upon it, they didn't say like, oh my God, like he just beat a former WWE champion. Like, I don't know. I just, maybe the old school guy in me thinks that maybe a bigger deal than what it is. So I would have liked for them to have that mean more by putting emphasis on that, because The Miz is somebody who I think in many ways has won at the game of life, but also has accomplished so much in the WWE. Like, whatever you can accomplish in that, he's done it. So they think that he lost to Braun Strowman. I think that should have been a bigger deal. But yeah, I think Braun Strowman is going to be such a great challenge for Bronson Reed. This is kind of that meaty battle that we all want to see Bronson Reed have. Yeah, it's easy to face guys like Seth Rollins and The Miz and R-Truth. But what happens when you face a guy that's your own size, or maybe even a little bit bigger? So we'll see how that goes. We're already going to see that match next week. So I can't wait to see that. That's going to be a nice. I think we haven't really seen Braun Strowman really go in a while. So I feel like this is going to be a fun match to watch next week.
Definitely heavy hitting. Very similar to a six-man tag we got earlier in the night. New Day versus Final Testament. Of course, they had Odyssey Jones on New Day's team. Xavier says he feels like Odyssey is replacing Big E. Woods is a little upset. He also gets tagged out, but Jones is able to get the win for his team because of it. Jimmy, what I love about this whole thing, Xavier Woods killing it, by the way. And the fact that they're saying, hey, I feel like you're replacing Big E. That's literally when it first happened, how our reaction was. It kind of feels like they're trying to replace Big E, and it doesn't feel right. The fact that they're leaning into that, chef's kiss. Perfect. I'm right on board.
No, it's all based on reality. people have thought that right away, and they're leaning right into it. And that's one of the beautiful things that they do in wrestling, is when you lean into touches of reality and you make people think, you see, I knew it. That's what they're doing. And then, like you said, Xavier Woods playing into it perfectly with his little boo-boo face, but not over the top boo-boo face. You know what I mean? You could see, he's just not on board. He doesn't look like he's on board, but he's playing along for now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's expecting it, but when it happens, when he pulls the trigger, that's a different story. That's a part of the storytelling that's beautiful.
George, my question is this. If Xavier Woods turns and attacks Odyssey Jones, but then Kofi says, I can't be your friend anymore, which one of them broke up?
Oh my God. Wow, that's going to be a tough day, man. Like, this is literally almost, I think, 10 years almost to the day of them being a team. Man, I like where this is going, because it leaves with so many possibilities. Does Woods turn? Does Kofi turn? Do they both turn? You know, what if they both all of a sudden be like, wait, who do you think you are? You think you're Big E? You can't replace Big E, you know? And then maybe Big E comes in. It's like, hey, man, like, we're not about that. We're about, you know, welcoming. And there's so many cool things when it comes to the possibilities of this. Shout out to their Ninja Turtles gear. I thought that was really, really cool. But yeah, I'm digging where this is going. Final Testament kind of becomes like a backdrop to the actual story that's happening. But yeah, I'm fearful that this might mean the end of the New Day, but I really hope that it finds some way to continue and maybe get themselves even more over than what it was before. I don't know if this is the same thing, because I kind of see where Woods is coming from. In 2020, the Lakers won the championship, but they won a championship. It definitely felt different, not because of the COVID thing, but because, like, when Kobe won the championship, it was like a team that he assembled. When LeBron and the Lakers won a championship, it was like, oh, let's just get a lot of people that aren't really Lakers at heart. You know what I mean? Like, it was like just a bunch of free agents that they signed just to assemble a team together. And I just felt like that wasn't really like a Lakers squad. And I kind of feel like that's where Woods is coming from. Like, you know, this isn't feel right. This isn't us. Like, this isn't, yeah, we're winning. I'm happy we got the win. But I mean, like, I just feel weird that this is someone else, you know, kind of winning it for us. You know, I don't know. Those are all things that I thought when this happened.
No, I can't let this in. Jimmy, get a load of this guy. His team wins so many championships that when they win the big one, he's like, I don't know if I like this one as much as my other ones.
It felt different.
You know how many other teams are like, I would give my thumbs for my team to win a championship. Who cares who's on the team? How dare you sit here?
It's like, Dwight Howard, Rondo, who was the other guy? Another Danny Green. Like, these are all guys that nobody thinks of as Lakers, but you know, they helped out with that Lakers team in 2020.
I know it's not basketball, this is hockey related, but you're talking to a lifelong Maple Leafs fan. And do you think if they won the Stanley Cup for the first time since 1967, as one of the few people who was alive at the time they won the cup, you know, you think I would say, you know what, that was a nice win, but they should have blew them out. You know, no. Are you kidding? After watching what happened this year in the greatest false finish in hockey NHL playoff history, you know, against the Boston Bruins, when they had me. See, they had me. They hooked me. You know? Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
No, I mean, you know how few, precious few championships us Washington State fans have? We have one from 1979, and that
you guys have one from 2013 as well.
Anymore.
What about the one from 2013?
That's the other one. We got two, and I love them both. I wasn't even alive for one of them. But here, okay, everyone in the chat, if your team has more than two championships, say here right now, George, how spoiled you are.
So I don't know, maybe completely different, but kind of that's what I was thinking when Woods was in the ring with his hand being raised because of Odyssey Jones.
Yeah, Well,
by the way, I'm a big Tom Brady fan. So when he won in 2020 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing.
I'm a big Brady fan too, but I also don't complain about like. Any case, last two things here. I'm just going to bundle them together. Pete Dunne loses to Sheamus in a pretty good one. Pure Fusion Collective and Damage Control fail to win the titles from Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. George, the champions retain. What are your thoughts on those championships?
Man, it needs some restructuring. There was this match was a little wonky even from the beginning. Like, things were happening. The bell didn't even ring before things started happening. It was a little off. I would have liked to see a little bit more structure. And I just feel bad because it feels like when, like, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who I'm a big, big fans of, like, they just seem like they didn't – there was really no reaction when they won. Even when, like, Kairi did the move that she tried to do and it kind of went off, but it still looked pretty cool and pretty neat when it happened. And she's like, yeah, I did it. It's like, man, like, the fans just didn't care. I don't know. I just feel like maybe there needs to be some kind of restructure. This is a rare miss from what we've seen in the last couple years when it comes to the tag team division. So I'd like to see more emphasis on maybe getting these characters over. Isla and Albo just maybe feel like they just came out of nowhere. So maybe that's what's going on, but I do feel like there should be something that maybe a different direction in terms of how to move forward with the tag division for the women.
Yeah, Jimmy, what do you think the problem is here? We've talked about this tag team division a couple times, and I always say I love the parts, but I think what I'm kind of torn here. I think one of the problems for me personally is you've got a team like Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill on SmackDown, and it feels like they're going to win the titles, and they are such stars,
right?
And it feels like every other team is really just buying time until we can get that rematch.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What am I onto something, or is that not the case here? Why is this match that has all these great talent in it? Why am I not more engaged?
I hate to put it this way, but in my opinion, people aren't getting on board because none of them stand out. Like you said, you mentioned Jade and Bianca. They stand out. Mm-hmm. People see them and they go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that wow factor. I know it sounds cliche to say that, but it's that simple.
Yeah,
they look like champions. They look like they should be dominating. Mm-hmm. Who in that division on the Raw side in the women's tag team division looks like they should be dominating, if any?
Yeah,
I think people are just like, they feel that they're more same from all the women. All of them are petty, all of them are just bickering back and forth. I hate you, I don't like you, you know, you're the B word, whatever the case may be. How many times did they say that tonight? Mm-hmm. That drove me nuts.
Yeah,
I mean, is that the new deal? Not just in WWE, not just tonight, but all across wrestling. Is that the new buzzword?
Yeah, wait until they get to Netflix. They might have a new buzzword.
Oh, gee.
which one are you thinking about, George? Which one?
Hold on. Let me get ready.
Yeah. So it starts with a letter and it ends with the T. But I'd love everybody involved. And just to kind of make my point across. This to me feels like it's a movie that has a great cast, but maybe it's not the best movie out there, you know, like, and we've seen that plenty of times in the last 50 years. So, you know, again, maybe it'd be different with a different director. Maybe it'd be different with a different vision. But when it comes to this, I just feel like it can be a lot better. And I'm hoping that tonight is the first step of being like, oh, like, okay, maybe we need to kind of realize what we have and what we don't have. And again, I just don't feel like there's been enough emphasis on like Isla and Alba to put them over as a character. And again, we've seen them before and they can all wrestle pretty good, but none of them have that kind of banger of a match mm-hmm. that we can all look back on and be like, oh, but that one match was badass. Like none of them really have that.
And not only that, George, I will add to that they don't have that other gear that you see. You see them coming out, especially when they're watching the match from ringside and they're acting all smarmy and they're wavy. They don't have that other gear where you go, oh, these ladies could really kick some butt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even to briefly compare to the other show, like, you know, because a lot of people are saying a lot of the similarities regarding the big three, the three that are facing for the AEW Tag Team Championship. But I can look back and how many great matches have we seen with the FTR? How many great matches have we seen with the Acclaimed going back to that match with Swerve and Keith Lee? Of course, mm-hmm. Young Bucks have been putting on bangers for years. So at least we can pinpoint them to all these amazing matches. And unfortunately, we can't really do that, at least in the tag division. We've seen Alba Fire put on some amazing matches and NXT UK, Kairi, you know, EO, mm-hmm. like everybody. Like they touch upon the history between Kairi and Shayna going back to the first Mae Young Classic Finals. Like we all know that they are tremendous athletes, but as a tag team, as strictly a tag team, I feel like we haven't really seen the best of each one of them.
Mm-hmm. I think this is where Flobo would mention his hierarchy of, you know, character, story, match. And I think a lot of these individuals, I don't know if their characters are as fleshed out as mm-hmm. some of the other people on the roster. And like, they are great wrestlers and they're great at what they do, but, you know, explain what Pure Fusion Collective is without just saying they want to take over. Like, I don't really know what their character is. I always say, you know, Bloodline is about family. Yeah. It's about legacy. It's about history. That's what they're about. And that's why it works. But
yeah,
I don't know what Damage Control is like and what they're about. Really,
yeah, like exactly. Like I mean, I think Chelsea and Piper are way more over than all these teams involved, and it's mostly because of Chelsea, because we haven't a chance mm-hmm. to see what her character is, and we're all sincerely tremendously entertained by her character. And then Piper is able, even though we all know Piper can go as well, she kind of gets that rub from being Chelsea's tag partner.
Yeah,
but with Chelsea, what she did was she got noticed because of that Money in the Bank spot. Mm-hmm. So people noticed her, and then she capitalized on that with the character and made it work. And now she's there. And I got to point out something from the Pete Dunne Sheamus match, if I may.
Yeah.
Because we talk about all the way it was a good match, but we talk about the way WWE shoots matches and they do things. When Pete Dunne did the reverse 10 forearms to Sheamus and had him laying down, and then he turned to the crowd and kind of smiled at him. And from the hard camera, you saw Sheamus rise up from behind him.
Yeah.
What a great shot. That looks mm-hmm. so, so good.
There's a lot of great, that match. That was one of my favorite finishes in a long mm-hmm. time. The way Sheamus' hand was stuck and the way he ripped it out. Like that was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was just a cool comic book looking in a good way moment. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a super chat. And it's specifically mm-hmm. for you, Jimmy, from mm-hmm. Alan Cosentino. Says, Jimmy, any good Booker T stories or memories?
Well, you don't think I have any good Booker T stories, Alex Cosentino?
Wow, you got called out, man. You got called out, Alex. But, well, any good series?
Specifically, other than George, you. Not me.
I don't know. My old golf partner, Booker T, because... Oh, he got hot at me one time on the golf course.
Did you drink his Red Bull?
No. It was myself, him, JBL, and Larry Heck, the trainer. We were out when we had the rare day off, the SmackDown crew. We'd usually, if it was a nice day or somewhere, we'd go out and find a golf course and just spend the afternoon and just have a blast. But I was hitting out of the sand one time. And as I swung the club and I hit the, I made contact with the ball. As I followed through, my club hit the ball again and landed like this far away from the hole. It was the best shot I've ever hit out of the sand in my life. And I was so excited, but Booker is screaming, "You double tapped. You double tapped the ball." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You hit it. And then as it came out, your club hit it. You hit it again." I said, "It was just the follow through." He says, "That's a double tap." And he's free. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, no, I'll take the penalty. But, gee, you know, he freaked out. He takes his golf seriously. I mean, let me put it that way.
Right. I could imagine. I don't know him, but I could imagine for some reason.
And, by the way, really quickly, the time he tried to get the Undertaker to do a Taker-Rooney.
Great stuff.
Because one of the things that Taker took pride in is he would not crack. He would not break character in the ring. And they almost got him that night because everybody came out. Even Vince did a Vince-a-Rooney, and it was oh my goodness.
I think there's video of that too. It was like a post show, right? Like after they went off the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Even after we went off the air, he didn't want to break character. He just refused to.
I remember.
But you can see that look on his face. Oh, you know what? When we get back there, I'm going to.
By the way, I love when we ask Jimmy about if he has any good stories about something. And I know he has a few, but he's trying to figure out, like, okay, which stories can I tell?
There's a few, yeah.
I remember, I think one of the years that they were out here in L.A., I saw Booker T at a bar. Not a bar, but at the bar area of the hotel lounge, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, my God, it's Booker T. Like, should I go up to him? Should I say, you know? And then so I walked by, and I was like, hey, Booker, big fan. That's it. That's it. That's my story.
Tut Graf, I think, spitting truth here, says that wasn't a Booker T story. That was a Jimmy golf shot story. You were just trying to brag about your golf.
That, how can you brag?
Alex wants to follow up on the question, Jimmy, and ask, were you there for the Booker T Batista fight?
No, I missed that one. Thank goodness.
Do you know where that was? That was in Encino, California.
Oh, that's right. Were
you there for the Booker T?
I wish I was there, but I heard that they were like shooting, like they were doing a SummerSlam photo shoot and they rented a house in Encino. And I was like, oh man, I wish I knew, or else, you know, I would have stalked it, or at least like try to get on. I think that was around the time when I was like trying to get into like the, cause I do like production stuff, like producing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, I wish I would try to get in, you know, into that aspect of the world.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we could talk Booker T stories all night. Well, I couldn't, but he's actually one of my all-time favorites. Fun story. But we got to wrap this up. Everyone in the chat, let us know your overall thoughts of the show. Now, for people who watch SmackDown, you know this, but I have a new ranking system. It's not out of 10 anymore. Ooh. It's, was the show on fire right now? Or was it living under a rock? So you got to pick. Was the show living under a rock, or was it on fire right now? Let us know what you think. Jimmy, final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Oh, I actually enjoyed Raw tonight. I think they've been really, last couple of weeks, they've been putting on some bangers. SmackDown as well. I think they're hitting on all cylinders right now, heading into Berlin. And as far as we can find me here on Monday nights, after Raw, Wednesday nights after Dynamite, I think it's the three of us again this Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
The trio's back together.
After Jack was unavailable last week. Oh, I forgot to do my trivia. I always like to do a little trivia when I'm on the show.
I was in the middle. Getting COVID. Oh.
And of course, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. RJ, we thank him a lot for all he does for us. This week, last week was Veda Scott. This week, he's handsome, he's brave, he's strong. He's the Mountie. Jacques Rougeau joins us. So that should be a lot of fun. My Ref and Rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, where I just give critiques with screws that I believe need tightening. And again, they are my opinion and mine alone. And of course, there's other stuff in the works. And when I'm able to discuss it, and that NDA is over, I will spit it out here.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
I forgot to tell you guys, I'm already in two Hall of Fames.
Of course you are.
Did you get put on the wall for eating 50 chicken wings in 10 minutes?
No, that was a KFC. But nice. No, not PFC, KFC. The New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, and also the Canadian Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. I didn't even know there was one.
Oh, wow.
He didn't know you were in.
I didn't know I was in. I'm in.
That's how you know Jimmy's made it. Like, he's in Hall of Fame, so he doesn't even know exist.
Did you get like a plaque or something, or did they send you something in the mail?
No, somebody showed it to me on a website. That's Canadian Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame website. I didn't even know when it existed. So cool. Well, 2021. But I do have a plaque for the New England one. Anyway.
Final thoughts on the show and where can we find you?
Oh, hate to be that guy. I thought the show was okay. You know, I'm excited for some of the stories, especially the New Day one. Can't wait to see what the next step of the Xavier Woods tale is going to be. Again, the Wyatt Six, I feel like we've been seeing the same thing for like the last 3-4 weeks. And you know, I want to see some progress. I want to see more of a why. Are they trying to be their own person? Are they? I know they kind of mentioned it a couple weeks ago, or like a month or two ago. You know, I just would like to see something different when it came to the Wyatt Six. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. Good matches. I thought the Sheamus and Pete Dunne match was great. Can't wait to see Pete Dunne on NXT because I know he's doing a lot of stuff there. But yeah, just overall, I thought it was an okay show. I think next week, especially getting into the Bash in Berlin, I think it's gonna really you know, hammer everything home as far as what's gonna happen toward the PLE. But I'm excited. But in the meantime, you can follow me on Ghermoza, Ghermoza. You can follow my wrestling channel, The Wrestling Chatter, where we have also had Jacques Rougeau, the Bounty, on as a guest, as a, to be interviewed by the guy in the middle. And then I have an interview coming out. I did the interview, so I know it's going to happen. But I will be releasing an interview soon with a guy that's got a lot of spirit. Maybe he was in a member of a squad that had a lot of spirit.
Interesting.
With spirit fingers. And we talk a little bit about Bring It On and if whether he had to watch Bring It On to prep for his spirit squad.
I hope he said no. Yeah. I watched it because I'm a fan.
Dude, that's a great movie. I saw a clip of Kirsten Dunst going to like watch it like at some like because they do a lot of stuff in Hollywood and LA where like, oh, watch it at a cemetery, whatever it is, you know? And they showed her watching Bring It On, and it was actually pretty cool.
Well, when I'm not watching Bring It On, you can check me out at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'll be back here on Wrestling Inc. on Wednesday with both these two to talk about AEW Dynamite. Then I'm going to be on Friday. Friday, I'm going to be talking about SmackDown. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be talking about All In. So lots of chatting here on Wrestling Inc. Follow me here. I thought Raw was on fire tonight. So I enjoyed it. Everyone in the chat, please like, comment, share, subscribe. Please make sure to check us out on Sunday for that after show. I would appreciate you guys tuning in for that. That does it for us. We're done here. I'm hitting that end stream button. Good night, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.